From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and soundbites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
Starting around 12:30 Eastern time today, Iran launched nearly 200 ballistic missiles against a number of targets in Israel. This was a brazen, unacceptable attack by Iran, and every nation in the world must join us in condemning it.
That was State Department spokesman Matthew Miller earlier today. Iran said the attack was in retaliation for Hezbollah leaders Israel has eliminated in the last few weeks. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Carolyn Glick will join us live from Israel with the latest on today's events in Israel and in Lebanon, where Israeli forces over the last 24 hours have entered southern Lebanon in the effort to neutralize Hezbollah. The death toll from Hurricane Helene has risen above 150 as searchers continue to comb through the mountains of North Carolina for isolated survivors. Former President Donald Trump visited Valdosta, Georgia yesterday to survey the damage there.
But in a time like this, when a crisis hits, when our fellow citizens cry out in need, none of that matters. We're not talking about politics now. We have to all get together and get this solved. We need a lot of help. They have to have a lot of help down here. We look out for one another. We pull together. We pitch in. We persevere, and we pull it through. That is really the American spirit.
That was President Trump yesterday. Franklin Graham joined him, and our friends at Samaritan's Purse have set up response efforts in five sites there in Valdosta and also in Boone, North Carolina, their home city, which was also hit hard by the storm. Franklin Graham will join us later. We'll also talk with Congressman Chuck Edwards from North Carolina, whose district was also hit hard by the storm. And this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit could not be coming at a more needful time. The antidote to anxiety, the prescription for indifferent government, well, according to Scripture, it's prayer. Every edition of Washington Watch should remind us of that and compel us to pray. Pastor Gary Hamrick, senior pastor, Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia, the host of our first Pray Vote Stand Summit a few years back, will join me later today to discuss this year's spiritually intently focused summit. We're going to be talking about what you'll hear if you join us. And you can find out more about how to join us by going to prayvotestand.org. That's prayvotestand.org. In fact, Thursday night we'll be having a discussion about Israel, past, present, and future, as the events are unfolding right before us. Well, speaking of Israel, air raid sirens screamed throughout the country of Israel earlier today as Iran fired at least 200 missiles into the country, followed by a threat to launch even more if Israel counterattacked. According to an Israeli spokesman, most of the missiles were intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome. This aerial assault comes about 24 hours after Israeli military began a ground invasion of southern Lebanon in an effort to destroy the Iranian-backed terrorist militia Hezbollah. Joining me now from Israel to discuss the latest is Carolyn Glick. She's a senior contributing editor at the Jewish News Syndicate and host of the Carolyn Glick Show on JNS. Carolyn, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on your program, Tony.
Well, Carolyn, thank you for staying up late. I know it's been a long day. You've spent a lot of time in the bomb shelter. Give us an update on first how you're doing and what is happening there in Israel tonight.
Well, yeah, we were in our shelter for about 40 minutes or so today. And it was a problem because we have the Jewish New Year starts tomorrow, and I was baking, so it got me off schedule. But aside from that, thank God we're okay. We had a horrible terrorist attack in Tel Aviv today as well, and seven are dead now, and another 11 are in critical conditions fighting for their lives out of 18 total wounded, or 17 now because one of the wounded just died. So that was horrible. And then we had 10 million people in shelters for about 45 minutes this evening, as Iran shot 193 ballistic missiles at Israel. So it's been a rough day. And then yesterday, Israel sent ground forces into Lebanon for the first time openly at any rate, during the course of this war, starting a ground operation there. So there's been a lot of news coming out of here, a lot of events going on here. It's a difficult time, and it's also a holy time. This is the time of our high holidays, and it's the holiest time of the Jewish year.
There seems to be a correlation when we're seeing some of these attacks taking place during these spiritually significant holidays. And I want to talk about that in a moment, but I want to break down some of these news items you brought up first. Connection between the attacks from Iran and the shootings in Tel Aviv. Was that coordinated, random? What do we know about the mass shooting there?
Well, we know that it was carried out by two terrorists from Hebron who were in Israel illegally, and that they carried it out with M16s that were totally in good working order. And those are weapons that the United States, for instance, provides to the Palestinian Authority security forces. We know that they opened fire in a commuter rail in Tel Aviv, and that apparently many of the dead are children. And then they got out at a stop and they continued their murderous spree until they were killed by Israelis that were carrying guns. And we know that Hamas is an Iranian proxy and that Iran has been working feverishly to get more weapons into Judea and Samaria through Jordan. Israel has intercepted a lot of smuggled weapons, but we know that there's a lot that's gotten through. And in some of the smuggling routes that we've found and that we've intercepted, we've seen just extraordinary quantities of weapons that are being smuggled by Iran through Jordan into Judea and Samaria. So all of the terrorism right now emanating from all of the various fronts that Israel's dealing with, including Judea and Samaria, are directly linked to Iran through supply, through urging people to carry out more and more attacks, and through the operational coordination between Hamas in this case and the Iranian regime. So Prime Minister Netanyahu, when he gave remarks just about a half an hour ago from the Security Cabinet meeting, said, in fact, that we know that Iran is also the address behind the terrorism that's emanating from Judea and Samaria.
I don't want to go too far down that path, but I do think it's poignant to recognize when you talk about Judea and Samaria, this is what the Biden administration and others are talking about giving away as a two-state solution. It becomes indefensible when these attacks are emanating from within Israel in this area of Judea and Samaria that would be given completely over to the Palestinians.
I'll just add on that in a day like this, when Israel is literally fighting actively along seven fronts that Iran and its proxies are attacking it from, the Biden administration thought it was appropriate to issue sanctions against Israeli citizens who oppose the two-state solution. So that they issued, this is the, I think, of. They did it against a group that they claimed as an organization, but it's not. They referred to them as the Hilltop Youth Organization, but that essentially, since it's not an organization, it gives them the arbitrary ability to just label anybody they want to a member of a non-existent organization and sanction them. So we've already had 13 Israelis sanctioned under this executive order that Biden issued in February to punish Israelis who oppose his plan to establish a Palestinian state in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, along with Gaza. And they just took it up a big step forward today of all days.
Speaking of the Biden administration, Israeli troops in the last 24 hours went into Lebanon, southern Lebanon, to eliminate the threat from Hezbollah. Is there evidence to suggest that the Biden administration leaked that information out to give Hezbollah a heads up, or Lebanese officials?
Or to try to scuttle the operation itself by leaking it? Yes, the Biden administration claimed loudly and rather publicly that they weren't brought into the secret plans of Israel to eliminate Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah until the planes were already up in the air. Incidentally, JNS carried out a poll earlier this week that showed that 83% of Israelis agree with Prime Minister Netanyahu's decision not to inform the Biden administration ahead of time.
Can I vote in that poll? I would agree. This is an operational issue. I mean, this put lives at risk going into Lebanon.
Precisely. And so what happened was, though, apparently because they had complained so loudly about Israel not informing them ahead of time of the Nasrallah operation, that Israel did inform them of our plans to go into Lebanon, and the Americans immediately leaked it to the U.S. media. And this happened over a series of conversations that Israel had trying to coordinate with the Americans. And the administration turned around each time and leaked the information to the media almost immediately after the conversation with the Israelis ended. So it clearly got a lot of feathers ruffled in Israel, to say the least, that they were behaving in this way.
Here's my suggestion. You can pass this on to the Prime Minister. Just tell them to send us a postcard once they're there, and they can inform the Biden administration that way. Carolyn, also reports the Biden administration and Iran were negotiating the scope of the strike. Is there any validity to those reports?
What's interesting is those reports were actually initially emanating from American sources. And then when an outcry in Israel and on social media in particular and in the media here, then suddenly you had a change story where the Americans denied that they were negotiating with the Iranians and then said that it was just an Iranian was trying to contact the Americans, but that the Americans weren't negotiating. So believe what you want. The initial reports were that the United States was, in fact, coordinating Iran's attack with Iran beforehand to try to determine what would be an acceptable amount of missiles to send over to Israel that the United States could then pressure Israel not to respond forcefully to. At any rate, it's all sort of an academic question because Prime Minister Netanyahu said this evening that or tonight that Israel is going to respond harshly to Iran's missile.
About 45 seconds left, Carolyn, but would this not be the opportune time to eliminate the threat of Iran and their nuclear capabilities?
Well, I certainly agree with you. I know that that's one of the issues that's being considered by the Security Cabinet, according to reports in the media. And another one is Iran's oil installations. So those appear to be the top two options that are on the table now, at least as far as media reports are concerned, regarding what the Cabinet is considering this evening.
Carolyn Glick, I want to thank you for joining us, and I want you and all of our friends there in Israel to know that we're praying for you, praying for the peace of not only Jerusalem, but all of Israel and the region. Everyone does well when there's peace in the land, and we're grateful for the strength of Israel and God's favor that's been upon the country in this conflict, and we pray for a quick resolution.
Thank you very much. God bless.
All right. Carolyn Glick with JNS News. All right. After the break, Franklin Graham joins us as we talk about the southeastern region of the United States, their continued effort to respond to the devastation of Hurricane Helene. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. More straight ahead.
Are you a Christian parent looking to raise a spiritual champion in today's culture? Renowned author George Barna has written a new book, Raising Spiritual Champions. This book offers valuable insights based on extensive research conducted by George Barna, the Family Research Council, and Arizona Christian University. Learn how to help your children discern biblical truth and find compelling meaning and purpose. Don't miss out on this essential resource for parents. Order your copy today.
Hello, I'm Jody Heiss, president of FRC Action. Here in America, we thank God for the right to vote, and we can all agree on the importance of this upcoming election. Many of us want to support candidates who share our values, but we're not comfortable supporting the big national political organizations. Well, we have a solution for supporting candidates through FRC Action's Faith, Family, and Freedom Fund. Being a super PAC, it allows for unlimited individual and corporate donations, so we can endorse and fund campaigns for people who share our values. By giving to this fund, we're able to pull all of our contributions together and support and endorse like-minded candidates. That's how we move the needle. So let's be the best stewards possible and get the most out of our political contributions by uniting our efforts. For more information or to contribute, visit faithfamilyfreedomfund.org. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
All of us are born with the desire to find truth and meaning. Where did I come from? What happens when I die? While our answers to these questions may divide us, we are united in our need for the freedom to answer life's biggest questions and make life's biggest decisions for ourselves. That's why religious freedom matters for everyone. Religious freedom matters because the powerful have long wanted to control those who are less powerful. Religious freedom matters because the freedom of those who are different is often threatened by those who believe different is dangerous. At the Center for Religious Liberty at Family Research Council, we promote religious freedom for everyone because the only alternative is religious freedom for no one. We encourage Americans and the American government to engage and advocate for the persecuted, and they do. We work every day to bring good news to the afflicted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. We do it because that's what Jesus does. We work to give freedom to others because we ourselves have been set free.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website is tonyperkins.com. And let me, again, extend an invitation to you. If you're within driving distance of Washington, D.C., you can join us for the Pray Vote Stand Summit that begins Thursday night. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later with Pastor Gary Hamrick, one of our speakers, who will be with us throughout the summit. We begin Thursday night with a worship service. We'll be hearing from Pastor Carter Conlon, Mike Huckabee, Bishop Vincent Matthews, and we'll also be having a discussion about Israel and understanding the situation there as it unfolds from a biblical perspective. You can find out more by going to prayvotestand.org, and we'll be praying. We'll be praying. We'll be praying for our country. We'll be praying for Israel. We've got a lot to pray about. Speaking of praying, first responders continue their relief efforts throughout the southeast region devastated last week by Hurricane Helene, delivering supplies to communities struggling to pick up the pieces while lacking food, water, and power. Now, I've seen this many times before, but this is a region that's not necessarily accustomed to this type of natural disaster. As of this morning, more than 150 people across six states have died as a result of the storm, and the death toll is expected to rise as responders continue their work throughout this region, going through some of the remote areas of the mountains in North Carolina. The effects of this storm will be felt for years. Now, this is one aspect of these natural disasters that unless you live there, you go through it, you just don't realize because the news moves on. In a couple of weeks, this is not going to be a story for most of the media, but this is going to be decades in recovering, and many lives, many families, many communities will forever be impacted by this. But there are those that will continue to do the relief work, the restructuring, the rebuilding, and they're in need of our prayers and our help. Among those responding, as they always do, is Samaritan's Purse, which has even seen its own staff affected by the storm. Right there in their headquarters in Boone, North Carolina, they were hit strong by the storm. And we're going to be joined, I think, momentarily by Franklin Graham. We're having some technical issues. Actually, in all of that region, cell towers are out. power is out, so it's difficult to communicate with folks. And I know many family members trying to get in touch with people, family in those regions, and having difficult times doing it. In fact, Chuck Edwards, one of the congressmen, we just got notice he's lost all service. We're not going to be able to get him on the program later as anticipated. So we're going to do our best to keep you informed of what's going on, just so you can pray, but also so that you can support and volunteer. And we had Edward Graham on yesterday. And you might say, why do you focus so much on this? Because those people who are impacted by these storms, their lives have been turned upside down. And this is where the body of Christ needs to come together and help one another. And I've witnessed this multiple times, as I've talked about on the program before. When I was pastoring and we had the historic floods in Louisiana, I hosted Samaritan's Purse for 2.5 years. They stayed 2.5 years to do not just relief, but then to do rebuilding. And they're one of the best organizations that I've ever worked with when it comes to relief efforts in terms of their efficiency, their effectiveness, and their focus. Their focus is not just on the material aspects of life, but on the spiritual. And in my church, during that year that we were in the initial phases of it, we baptized over 100 people who came to Christ because of the ministry of Billy Graham Ministries and Samaritan's Purse. So you can help. You can help them. And they're going to be busy for a long time. You can go to samaritanspurse.org. You can volunteer. That's really what they want most is volunteers, the people that go in and mud out the houses. No matter what your skill level is, they'll find a place for you, and you will find your time is well spent. And it's a time, as I mentioned, as Edward and I were talking about yesterday, not only do you help and minister to families, but you find your own life impacted by it. And that's, you know, when we give, we receive. When we give to others, we give of our time, of our efforts, of our resources. It's a blessing to the person who gives. So I would encourage you, if you have the time, even budget it, because as I said, this is going to be ongoing for years. And so you can schedule it. Schedule a part of your vacation to go and help with Samaritan's Purse, or you can give financially. Our family, this is one of the ministries, about a half dozen ministries that we support as a family. One of them is Samaritan's Purse, because I know where the money goes, I know how they use it, I've seen it firsthand, and nobody does it better. And so I would encourage you to be supportive of Samaritan's Purse and the great work that they do. All right, we're still trying to get connected with Franklin. I think we're going to have to hold him over to the next segment, having difficulty getting him connected. But pray, right? Pray for those families impacted. All right, can you do that? Can you join me in praying for them, praying with them, praying for those that are there doing the work? I mean, they're still searching for those that are in remote areas that were impacted by this storm. And then consider, once again, joining us at this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit, because this is one of the things we're going to be praying about. It does not escape me when you look at the intensity and the frequency of these storms. You have to ask the question, is God trying to get our attention? Historically, we see this in Scripture. There's a connection between God speaking, and then we've seen that throughout the history of our country, that we've had leaders, when we have these types of storms and the events occur, call the nation to pray. We need to pray for one another, but we need to pray that our nation is focused on the things that God would have us to be focused on, and that we're walking with Him, in alignment with Him. Is He trying to get our attention? All right, when we come back, I think we're going to have Franklin by phone. We finally established a connection, so when we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by Franklin Graham of Samaritan's Purse. Also still to come, Pastor Gary Hamrick, Senior Pastor, Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia, is going to be joining me as we give you somewhat of a preview of the upcoming Pray Vote Stand Summit. And also, I'm going to talk about Pastor Gary's sermon. He gave a sermon last month in September, an election sermon that Well, it got a lot of attention. We're going to talk about the role of pastors and churches in the political process. Are we to be hands-off or are we to be engaged? I think you know the answer, but we're going to talk about it with Pastor Gary Hamrick. Don't go away. We're going to have more Washington Watch straight ahead.
Everything we do begins as an idea. Before there can be acts of courage, there must be the belief that some things are worth sacrificing for. Before there can be marriage, there is the idea that man should not be alone. Before there was freedom, there was the idea that individuals are created equal. It's true that all ideas have consequences, but we're less aware that all consequences are the fruit of ideas. Before there was murder, there was hate. Before there was a Holocaust, there was the belief by some people that other people are undesirable. Our beliefs determine our behavior, and our beliefs about life's biggest questions determine our worldview. Where did I come from? Who decides what is right and wrong? What happens when I die? Our answers to these questions explain why people see the world so differently. Debates about abortion are really disagreements about where life gets its value. Debates over sexuality and gender and marriage are really disagreements about whether the rules are made by us or for us. What we think of as political debates are often much more than that. They are disagreements about the purpose of our lives and the source of truth. As Christians, our goal must be to think biblically about everything. Our goal is to help you see beyond red and blue, left and right, to see the battle of ideas at the root of it all. Our goal is to equip Christians with a biblical worldview and help them advance and defend the faith in their families, communities, and the public square. Cultural renewal doesn't begin with campaigns and elections. It begins with individuals turning from lies to truth. But that won't happen if people can't recognize a lie and don't believe truth exists. We want to help you see the spiritual war behind the political war, the truth claims behind the press release, and the forest from the trees.
Welcome back. This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, joining me now by phone is Franklin Graham, President and CEO of Samaritan's Purse. Franklin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be with you.
All right, so I pretty much set things up there in the previous session as we were trying, the segment as we were trying to connect with you. So you were with President Trump yesterday in Georgia, where you have one of your sites in Valdosta set up. Give us a sense of what you're seeing, the scope of the damage of this storm. Now, did we lose him? We're having some... All right, we lost Franklin. This is one of the thrills of doing live programming, because you never know what's going to happen, especially when you're going into an area that's been hit by a hurricane and flood. They're having some issues there. He's at their headquarters in Boone, North Carolina, as they're continuing to do relief efforts right in their own front yard, literally, as they respond to things. All right, I think we're going to we'll see if we get him back. But in the meantime, I want to go to Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs here at the Family Research Council. I want to go back to the issue of Israel and the significance of what has taken place today and the impact this may have on the United States in terms of our international relationships. Travis Weber, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony. It's good to be with you.
This is like Mr. Toad's wild ride here today. So let's talk about the events. You're at a graduate of the Naval Academy. You understand the interplay of all of the stuff that's happening in the air over there with these missiles attacks. You heard the interview that I did with Carolyn Glick. Could this be the moment in which Israel responds in a significant way to this ongoing threat of Iran?
Tony, it could be. It could be. I think the lesson that we have to take as Christians in the United States is to realize that we're in times when we need to be on God's side and have the view that God has and say what God has about these events. I mean, clearly anyone can see Israel is in peril regionally, if not globally. The nations around them are set and fixated on their destruction. And now with Israel's successful attack against Hezbollah, Iran has decided it has to step in, and we'll see what Israel does in response. But clearly they are in the crosshairs of the world, and nations and people in those nations can make a choice whether they're going to be on the side of what God is saying about his people Israel, or on some side of their own choosing and making, and really the enemy of God who is targeting, the spiritual enemy of God who's targeting his people Israel. So we have to have the Lord's perspective, and as we are in perilous times.
Right. Travis, I'm going to stop you right there because we've reestablished connection with Franklin. As I said, they're having cell tower issues there in North Carolina. Franklin, do we have you back?
Yes, sir. I'm back with you, Tony. Sorry.
No problem. Understand. Been there, done that before. Talk about the breadth and depth of destruction that you're seeing there through the path of Hurricane Helene.
Okay. And where we were in Valdosta yesterday, you don't see a whole lot of damage. What has happened, that area, the farmers, their crops got wiped out. So this is the third year in a row that this has happened to the farmers. Mm-hmm. And these guys are just in trouble. There was wind damage, a lot of tree damage, that kind of thing. Here in the mountains, we have so much flooding. It's almost biblical when you see what's happened. Even in our hometown where I live in Boone, North Carolina, we've never seen rain like this. I'm 72 years old, and people that I know been around a lot longer than me that they've never seen or even heard of anything like this. So it's really, it's almost like it's a 1,000-year flood. And, but the people have been stranded, and that's, I think, so many roads are compromised or destroyed or cut into. Whole communities are without water, without electricity, without cell coverage. There's just no communications. And we've got a helicopter. We've been flying, sling loading water into some of these areas. We've supplied generators. So we're doing what we can, but the need is huge. And we've got a lot of volunteers. Today here in North Carolina, we had about 900 volunteers working. And we just need more volunteers. So people who come in for the day and work and come back the next day and do it again.
This is going to be a long-term process, is it not?
Yes. Yes, long-term, no question. The state, I don't think they'll be able to get the roads back. It'll take maybe a year for a lot of these roads. And then on top of that, Tony, just the electrical grid, the damage that's been done to that, it can be weeks. I mean, I don't have electricity. And it could be weeks before we get that back. And if then.
Yeah.
So it's really all of our responders, they are tired, worn out, and we just need to pray for them.
We are, and we're also encouraging volunteers to come and join up with Samaritan's Purse. You've got five locations. That's on top of other sites that you've been working on, even back in my home state of Louisiana. You're still there in Houma, Louisiana.
Yep.
So, Franklin, we're up against a break, out of time, but we're going to continue to walk with you through this. We're grateful for you, praying for you and your whole team. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. Yes, sir. God bless.
All right. Franklin Graham, Samaritan's Purse. And again, I do want to encourage you to pray, to give, to go. Help if you can, some way, somehow. Everybody can do something. We can all pray. Many can give, and some can go. So whatever you can do, please do it. Our nation is in need of this. And I'm going to talk next. Pastor Gary Hamrick's going to be joining us. And Franklin said something. He said, this is something, it's biblical. Well, I think a lot of what is happening right now in the world is of biblical proportions, and it's biblically significant. We're going to talk about that next. Don't go away.
Join us October 3rd through the 6th as we gather with spiritually active, governance-engaged conservatives from across America at the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit in Washington, D.C. We'll pray for our nation, engage in government and culture, and stand for biblical truth alongside Christian leaders, worldview experts, and government officials. We'll discuss important issues like the sanctity of life, religious freedom, protecting students, strengthening families, praying for our nation, and how you can impact America's future from a biblical worldview. our nation stands at a critical juncture, and we must ensure that the issues impacting faith, family, and freedom are understood and advanced. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org. That's PrayVoteStand.org.
Jesus said in John 15, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." In 2024, in these divided and uncertain times, how can this be possible? By abiding in Him through His Word. At Family Research Council, we want to help you do that, which is the reason for the Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. In just 10 to 15 minutes each day, you will have read the entire Bible in just 2 years. But more importantly, you will be abiding in Him daily. Find our Bible reading plan at frc.org/Bible. And join Tony Perkins each weekday for a 10-minute devotional inspired by the daily reading and designed to encourage you on this journey through the Bible. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
This is Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you'd like to find out more about the Pray Vote Stand Summit, go to PrayVoteStand.org. It begins this Thursday night, October the 3rd, and we'll go through Sunday morning, a Sunday morning service. You can find that at PrayVoteStand.org. Our word for today comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. Time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, and a time to build up. Time to weep, and a time to laugh. Time to mourn, and a time to dance. Time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. Time to tear, and a time to sow. Time to keep silent, and a time to speak. Time to love, and a time to hate. Time of war, and a time of peace. As we understand and accept God's design and His timing, we can enjoy life's journey, even with its difficulties and its challenges. To find out more about our journey through the Bible, text Bible to 67742. Well, many Americans feel as if our country is reeling from one crisis to the next. We've seen natural disasters, two assassination attempts of a former president, multiple wars overseas, a struggling economy for working families. And in the midst of it all, an election that will determine the direction of our nation for the next 4 years and maybe beyond. As Christians, we're called to be salt and light throughout the world. And that includes in the political process. But some say, wow, the church needs to stay out of politics.
The culture has twisted those things, distorted and perverted those social and moral issues into political issues, and then told pastors like me and Christians like you to stop being so political. Well, I have news for our culture. God had a say on all these subjects long before there was even a word political.
That was Pastor Gary Hamrick, senior pastor at Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia, addressing that fallacy in his election sermon back at the first of last month. Pastor Gary will be among the featured speakers at this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit that begins on Thursday, and he joins me now. Pastor Gary, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, it's always good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Did you recognize that guy on the screen?
I did. Pretty good looking guy, if I do say. No, I'm just teasing.
All right. So look, we live in, I got to laugh. This is a heavy news day, a lot going on. I had Franklin Graham on earlier talking about the devastation of the storms that have moved up through Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina. We had Carolyn Glick on, spent a good part of her day in the bomb shelter as Iran was attacking Israel. We live at a very significant time, and understanding it in light of Scripture for Christians is so important.
Yeah, it is. And fortunately, because we know how the story ends, that we can have hope in the Lord. But in the midst of all that's going on in our world, as I'm watching TV today and catching a little bit of the news and just seeing these rockets coming over from Iran, I'm just reminded, though, that Scripture says, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And so we're going to trust the Lord to take care of Israel. We're going to trust the Lord to take care of us in the middle of after the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. There's a lot of work to be done, and God's going to help us. And I thank God for Franklin Graham and organizations like Samaritan's Purse.
And we have a responsibility in all of this. And I was talking with Franklin, and you know, Franklin was talking about the flooding there in his home area, Boone County, North Carolina, that it is a, he said it's like a biblical flood. It's a biblical proportions. And when you look at what is happening in the Middle East right now, when you look at what's happening here in our country, as I mentioned, two assassination attempts on a former president, natural disasters, kind of one after another, could God be speaking to us or at least trying to get our attention?
Yeah, for sure. He's trying to get our attention. You know, whenever there's natural disasters like this, people do tend to turn to the Lord, and for good reason, because these kind of natural disasters remind all of us just how temporal life is. And isn't that what James says? Our life is but a mist that appears for a while and then it vanishes. So whenever there are international activities happening, such as what's going on in Israel right now, being attacked by Iran, whenever there's natural disasters in our own country, it is a wake-up call. It is a time for people to realize their own mortality. And if they don't know the Lord, certainly people are drawn to him during these times. So yeah, I mean, when we think about end time events and things that will happen on the world scene, we should take notice that the end is drawing near for sure. And I don't mean that in a negative apocalyptic way, but it's just the reality. But the Bible tells us that the Lord will return. There will be signs and wonders. There will be natural disasters. There will be diseases. And so we have to just take note of these things and be ready.
I mean, isn't that what we've been witnessing here in just the last few years? These, you know, we have pandemics, we've got these wars and rumors of wars, we've got natural disasters, we have terrorism. I mean, it certainly looks like it's coming off the pages of Scripture.
Yeah, and again, because believers know how the story ends, we can be hopeful in the midst of all the chaos, but this is a time for people to really examine their hearts and make sure they're right with the Lord. You know, we should always live with the expectancy of the imminent return of Christ. And when we see the world getting crazier and crazier, our hope is in the Lord. That's why even Jesus said, lift your heads up. Look up, for your redemption draws near.
Well, over in John chapters 14 and 15, Jesus was continuing his conversation with the disciples about what was to come. And he said, you know, I'm telling you these things so that you can have joy, and that you can have joy in me, and that your joy will be full, and you can have peace. So I think God's plan is for those who know him and walk with him to actually have peace and joy in the midst of these turbulent and uncertain times.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why Scripture always addresses fear and anxiety. Somebody once counted that there's 365 times it says, do not fear. That's one for every day of your life. And it's just a reminder that we should be anxious for nothing, and all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our requests known to the Lord, and he will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So we as believers are really the only group that can have hope and peace in the midst of the chaos, because it's grounded in the Lord.
You know, people ask about this election, Pastor Gary. I'm sure you get the question too. You know, what are we going to do in this election? This is an important election. Look, here's my summary of it. This election will not save the nation, but it could destroy it. I think we have to be very careful not to put our hope in politics and in government, but we have a responsibility to influence and give direction to it.
Yeah, for sure. I heard somebody say once that good government cannot save us, but bad government can destroy us. And that is true. I mean, we have to be mindful of the fact that our hope is not in government, but as believers, we can play a role in government. We need to be politically engaged. And when I say politically engaged, I mean we should obviously vote our values. We should vote for a candidate who most closely aligns with our biblical values, our biblical worldview. But as I say to our congregation, Jesus is not on the ballot, so there's no perfect candidate. Don't be looking for the perfect person. Make sure that you are voting for candidates who will advance policies that are most closely aligned with our biblical values. And we need to pray for our elected leaders. We need to hold them accountable. And we need to run for office if the Lord calls us to do that. But that's how we can be politically engaged and make a difference as Christians in the world.
Well, and you've had a number of individuals from your church that have run for office, holding Yep. office, have gotten engaged because they put their faith into action. And that's a part of what we'll be talking about, the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. Our focus first is spiritual. It's to pray. It's to get God's direction for our lives individually and collectively. But then to vote, and the vote means engage. And that could be, yep. as you said, running for office, supporting candidates, but at a minimum voting. I mean, as Americans, we have a right to vote. I believe as Christians, we have a responsibility to vote. And then we have to stand. We have to stand for these truths and these principles, even when they are not in vogue. And that's one thing your church has been doing there in Leesburg, Virginia.
Yeah, we've wanted to, you know, make our folks aware of what's going on in our culture and then, you know, use your platform that God has given us as believers to make a difference in our culture. And Tony, I came across this statistic I shared with our congregation a few weeks ago when I delivered that message you showed a clip of, that there are 90 million self-identified evangelical Christians who are eligible to vote. Of that 90 million, 40 million do not vote, and 15 million of the 90 million are not even registered. So that's 55 million evangelical Christians who could vote, who are sitting it out. And if we would come together in the unity of Christ, we could make a difference in our nation through that political process. Again, it's not that our confidence is in politics or politicians. Our confidence is in the Lord. But as long as we're living on this earth, we should be good stewards of what he's entrusted to our care. And one of the greatest gifts he's entrusted to our care is the privilege of living in the United States of America. Why should we not take care of what, as far as it depends on us, the privilege of living in the United States of America?
I mean, isn't voting being salt and light?
Absolutely.
Isn't that what we're influencing the world around us?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and I say, listen, Christian church, if there are 55 million Christians who are sitting it out, we have no one to blame but ourselves for these policies that we don't like. Because if Christians are silent, evil will rush into the vacuum. Evil will fill the vacuum. That's why we have to do our part to try to stem the tide of evil. And we can do that through the vote, through political policies. And I just urge people, vote or run for office, one or the other or both. But we've got to make a difference while we can.
Well, Pastor Gary Hamrick, you're going to be with us at the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. Give us a little preview of what you're going to be sharing.
Well, I'm going to be with you on a panel to talk about Israel and my, what a timely discussion that's going to be. And then on Saturday, I'm going to be speaking about just the urgency of the hour and why Christians need to be a part of the process and not complain about the process. We can make a difference. Tony, look, even in our own history, World War II, we united with a bad guy, Stalin, to defeat a worse guy, Hitler. And so sometimes Christians have to realize it is somewhat choosing the lesser of two evils, but we can make a difference. And I'll be talking about that on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's very important folks understand how to exercise their responsibility to vote. Because you say, if you've got to make this difficult choice, you simply say, I'd rather not think about it. I'd rather not have to use that brain power and I just won't vote. No, you've got to vote for those candidates in the elections that most closely align with biblical truth. And sometimes you got to dig, but that's in part, that's why we're here, We provide voter guides. We've got resources available. And folks, you can get that. You can text guide to 67742. That's guide to 67742. And you'll get a link where you can get a voter guide. We'll help you understand where the candidates stand on the issue. That's why we're here. We're here to help you. But you've got to actually do the work. You got to go out and vote. Gary, we're going to have some really, I think, impactful discussions at the summit. This is, as I was inviting people to come, this is not one of those spectator events. This is one where there's going to be participants. We're going to be praying. We're literally going to be praying through some of these issues. We're going to be praying Thursday night for Israel. We're going to be praying over other aspects. Carter Conlon's going to be sharing actually a really encouraging message of what's happening on college campuses, really Ivy League college campuses experiencing revival. And, you know, we're going to pray over our young people. Mike Huckabee is going to be there. Our friend Pastor Jack Hibbs is going to be there. We're going to hear from Dr. Ben Carson. We're also going to hear from House Speaker Mike Johnson. Sissy Graham Lynch is going to be with us. We've got a number of state elected officials, some AGs that are on the front line, attorney generals fighting various battles. Michelle Bachman, Vody Bachman is going to be there. The Benham brothers, Gabe Lyons. We're going to be talking about understanding not only Israel, but understanding the times, as we just touched on a few moments ago. All of these difficulties, all of these challenges, but God didn't leave us without direction, did he?
No, that's right. And that's why he told us to occupy till he comes. And he is our hope. And so our eyes are always on him. But listen, that's part of living out our Christian faith, is to be engaged in the culture during the times in which we live. And so I'm looking forward to the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit being with you, Tony. It's going to be a privilege to be with you.
Well, you were the host of our first reconfigured Pray, Vote, Stand Summit there at Cornerstone in Leesburg. And we continue to build on that and grateful for your partnership and looking forward to having you with us this week. So Pastor Gary, thanks so much for joining us today, and we will see you at the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit.
I'll see you then. Thank you, Tony.
All right. And folks, I hope I'll see you there as well. We also have Oz Guinness is going to be there speaking. David Barton will be joining us. He'll be speaking as well. And then at our gala on Saturday night, we'll be hearing from our own General Jerry Boykin. He'll be giving us a charge in terms of we've got to live courageous. We have to understand the times, but we have to live courageously for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to take inventory because the days are going to become even more difficult. But again, I go back to what Pastor Gary and I were talking about, that Jesus, he told us these things would be happening. He says, and I'm telling you these things so that your joy will be in me. Your joy will be full. You'll have my joy. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be at peace. But that's by walking in relationship with him and with other believers. And so this is a great time, because I hear from a lot of believers, why my pastor doesn't preach about these things. Well, come hear preachers who do. You will hear it at the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, and you will connect with other believers from all across this nation who care deeply about this country, who love the Lord, and want to make a difference, want to live with significance for the kingdom of God. So find out more. Go to prayvotestand.org. It begins Thursday night, October the 3rd. That's this Thursday. And we'll go through Sunday morning with a Sunday morning service in which I will be preaching. Prayvotestand.org. All right, continue to pray for those affected by the hurricane and the relief workers, first responders. Pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of that land. Until next time, just keep praying.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.